earlier in the prayer room, and there was a prayer lifted up for what's happening in Ukraine and in Lebanon and in Israel. And there are many people praying about, we're reading, what about the homeless situation in our cities and even in our town? What about those people that this season who have lost loved ones? What kind of hope is that for them? What about those who got their pink slip just before the season began? Where's that hope? What's it all about? And the thing that I love about this season is that when we think about the hope that we have, we are reminded of the words the angel gave to Mary when she questioned, how can this be? It's impossible. But this first Sunday of Advent reminds us, when life looks impossible, we have hope, for nothing will be impossible with God. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to turn your Bibles to a couple passages that are familiar to many of us, but I'd like us to read them. The first one, of course, is in Luke. Luke chapter 1. Verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man, Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Now, I just want to just stop there for a minute. And I want to ask every lady that's here this morning, every young lady, because you see, Mary at this point was about 14, 15, maybe 16 years of age at the most. She was at that stage in life where in her culture, mom and dad would figure, well, it's now time for her to get married. So they would have already arranged with another family in Nazareth to be Mary's husband. He may have been someone that she grew up with. It may have been someone that she wasn't going to meet until the wedding day. All she knew was that her life was set for her by her parents. She had no choice. And here she is, a young girl. She's going about her business. She's no one of significance. Up until this point, no one knows about her. She just lives in a very impoverished, humble village about 60 kilometers from Jerusalem. Or about from here, maybe to Duncan. She's doing all she can to prepare for her future. She's dreaming about that man she's going to marry. He's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, he's strong. He's going to be everything. Oh, yes, he's going to be everything. And then, out of nowhere, a light comes into the room, and this angelic being stands before her and gives her this announcement, completely upending her future plans, completely blowing her mind away. Ladies, what would some of your thoughts be? There's no way. And Mary, even herself, as the angel says, "Greetings, Mary, you who are highly favored." And Mary is greatly troubled. Why would Mary be greatly troubled? Well, let me say a couple things. Number one, she was greatly troubled. How many of you would, if an angel appeared to us right now or revealed themselves to us right now, how many of us would go, "Hey, great"? No, we would be at one of two things. We'd be running out of here, or we'd be on our faces. So that was one reason she was troubled. I think another reason she was troubled was she was thinking, who are you talking to? Who, me? Me? Who am I? I'm no one special. Yes, I can go all the way back to David, but I'm just Mary. My parents are just regular folk, and we're not rich. We have nothing. Why would you call me this? And the angel goes on to say what would happen, that she would conceive a child and call his name Jesus, who would be the Savior of the earth. And the angel goes on, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary, being the faith-filled young woman of God, says, yep, I'm on it. Awesome. Fantastic. Can you imagine all of the friends I'm going to have on Facebook now and on TikTok? And what is the other stuff that the teens are using? Okay, whatever it is, she's going to be on it. She's going to be on it. But listen to what she says. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. That's a good question. How can it be? It's never happened before. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. That's the NIV rendering. The other traditional renderings from the King James, the New King James, and the ESV say that, which is our text this morning. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. His word will never fall to the ground. What God has said, it shall be, because nothing shall be impossible for you. So how would you respond? What would you think? And more than that, what would Joseph think? What will my parents say? How will my community? Everyone will talk. Everyone will gossip. No one's going to believe this. They'll just see a teenage, unwed, pregnant young woman. And they'll see, be off with you. But what will Joseph think? Well, we have an idea of what he will think if you turn back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And let me just stop there for a minute for anyone who may be wondering. Some people look at that and they say pledged to be married. The King James says to be betrothed. Others have suggested, well, this is just like our engagement. And yes, and no. Yes, they are engaged, but even more than that, in those days, to be betrothed meant you were as good as married except for the consummation part. You would, both sets of parents would have a ceremony where Mary would meet her betrothed probably for the first time, and there they would go through the vows of marriage. They would then separate for a period of 1 year. And during that year, it would be Joseph's responsibility to build a house for Mary and himself, a place where they would raise their brand new family. And during that time, it was expected that they would both remain pure. And the only thing that could dissolve this betrothment would be death or adultery, if one of them remained unfaithful. So can you imagine, men, put yourselves in Joseph's shoes for a moment. You're busy, you've already gone through the betrothal period, you've had the ceremony, you have now gone off to start building your home, and you're dreaming. You're dreaming with every hammer, with every nail hammered, with every board put up, with every stone and brick laid. You are dreaming and imagining what life is going to be like. You've set up a workshop for your business because you're a carpenter. Nothing could ever go wrong. Life is so good. You are imagining having children and raising your little boys to be able to be carpenters just like you. Nothing could go wrong. And you hear that Mary, your betrothed, have gone to see her elderly cousin Elizabeth in Jerusalem, and nothing fizzes on you. You don't think anything is wrong. After all, he knows that Mary is a young woman of God who puts God and family first. So to go and visit an elderly relative, to care for that elderly relative who is about to give birth herself, well, that just magnified the point to Joseph. This is the woman for me. This is a woman who will care for my family. This is the woman who will be the mother of my children. This is the woman who will be the rock in our family. So several months goes by, and Mary comes to visit Joseph. And what was not there 3 months earlier is very evident now. What would you think? What thoughts are going through your head? The letter of the law says she should be stoned for adultery because it's not Joseph's baby, at least not physically. But Joseph, like Mary, loves and honors God and wants to put God first and wants to honor Mary. And so listen to his incredible testimony of grace. Joseph, before they came together, Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. People would not have blamed him. But this is where we never would have read about Joseph or Mary if he had done so. But aren't you glad for that little three-letter word, but? Just when it seems impossible, just when it seems to be the end of the story, there's a but, because there's more to the story. But after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and she gave him the name Jesus. Now, putting these two accounts together, there are some things that we can surmise about Mary and Joseph. Number one, we see the prophetic being fulfilled in their lives. In the Old Testament, God made it very clear that Messiah would come through the line of David, through the tribe of Judah. When you read the genealogies in both Matthew and in Luke, you will discover that both Mary and Joseph both can trace their lines of ancestry back to David. So here you have a couple in prophetic destiny together. We also know that in spite of that, they're a poor couple. They don't have much anything of these world's goods. They are no one in particular. They have no special traits, no special abilities, nothing of influence that they could ever offer anyone. And so why would God use them? Mary was troubled, I believe, even for a third reason. I'm wondering if Mary wondered, why would God use me? I'm just an ordinary Mary. And Joseph is just an ordinary Joe. There was nothing significant about them. But here's the beauty of the Christmas story. Here's the beauty of this, my friends, is to never forget that God will always choose to use the ordinary because nothing is impossible with him. They got to do something. And then they hear news, that we'll get more into this next week. They hear news that Caesar wants more taxes, so he's sent a writ demanding that everyone return to the home of their ancestry, which would be Bethlehem, the town of David. And we do not hear what the conversation was between Mary and Joseph as they made that long trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That long, dangerous, arduous trip. And I would love to be a fly on the ear of the donkey to hear what they may have talked about. Wouldn't you? Anyone curious as to what they may have talked about? Well, there's a group called The Chosen, and you may have seen their shows on TV. Well, they have produced a Christmas video, and we're going to be using some clips of that movie in this sermon series over the next few weeks. And this first one typifies or illustrates what on earth might they have talked about on the way. Stephen?
We might see Samuel, but it's been so long. I don't know if he's living in the same home.
Hope so. You've said so much about him.
We will see. We won't have any time to look for him if he's not, of course.
We'll see.
Are we out? Not even a drop.
Joseph?
Yes?
Can you stop, please? I'd like to walk for a bit.
No, Mary. Why would you want to walk? It's dangerous.
I'm getting a bit uncomfortable. Elizabeth actually told me it's good to walk and move when I feel up to
it. We won't have any water until I get you to town. You need your rest. Oh. Let me get you more comfortable, huh?
Just... Joseph, you don't have to be the only one walking. Plus, we're far enough away from Nazareth. Don't have to hide my condition anymore.
Mary, this blanket is stuck. There is no way that you are comfortable.
Joseph, I'd like to walk with you. Please.
I am responsible for you, Mary. For you and...
You protect us.
Yes.
I know. I'll let you help me down.
All right. You can walk for a few minutes, huh? But please, not too far. You need to save your strength.
I actually do need you to help me down.
Ah, yeah. Oh, yes. Sorry. Oh. Slowly, slowly. Yes. Watch the baby. Oh. Okay, okay, okay. Is it okay?
Yes, yes.
Hey.
This feels better.
Mm.
Thank you. Thank you for protecting me. I don't know that I've said that yet.
We have a little ways to go yet. Let's see how tonight goes and...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about... before.
Oh. Ah.
I've been meaning to say something this whole journey and I just... I didn't and I should have.
Hmm.
I should have months ago.
You don't have to?
Yes. Yes, I do. You could have gotten all of the bride price back from my father.
It was never about the money.
I know it wasn't. And I know it's not polite to talk about, but no one would have blamed you.
For what?
You're divorcing me. Publicly.
Mary, I...
You could be betrothed to someone that you don't have to hide. And people wouldn't be gossiping about you. And you could go be registered without having to drag me on this donkey for 5 minutes. Joseph. You are a brave man. And you are godly. And I should have said thank you.
God told me to.
I know he did.
Mm.
You had a choice.
I don't believe that I did. But I'm glad. Either way. I wouldn't change a single thing that has happened since that dream.
Neither would I.
Oh, this all seems impossible, huh?
Yes. Yes. But remember what the messenger said to me?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is impossible with God.
My messenger didn't say that. That would have been nice, huh? Are you feeling better?
A bit, yes.
Okay. Up, up.
Okay.
Need to move quicker. You need water, and I plan to get settled for the part where your messenger and my messenger said the same thing. Mm. And she will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Yes, that part. Come on.
Ordinary young people living ordinary lives, and in a nanosecond, their lives are changed forever. Their plans, their priorities, everything that they could have ever dreamed are shattered. But in that very same moment, they receive God's word. There's hope, because this child that you are carrying will be the hope of the world. I love their response to the angel, both Mary and Joseph. I love their responses. Do you notice when you see them that it's very evident that both Mary and Joseph love God with all of their hearts? They want to do God's will. Irrespective of the difficulty that this situation would mean, they were committed to submitting themselves. In fact, Mary herself says to the angel, "So let it be unto me as God wills." She submits her whole future. That would mean she submits herself to the ridicule and the gossip mongers of her village. She, the people that would call her names, the people that would even try to abuse her, she was willing to submit herself to God's plan no matter what. Joseph, he's willing to submit to God his future, his desires, his wills, only that God's will be done in their lives. And so together, he brings Mary into his house so that together they could serve him out of obedience. And what I love about Mary is we didn't read it this morning, but you can read the rest of her story in Luke chapter 1. What does she do? The very next thing she does after the angel leaves is she worships. She worships. And my friend, this morning you may be facing, I don't know what, you may be facing a health issue. You may be facing a financial downturn. You may be facing an issue in your family, in your marriage, whatever it is, and you're looking at it as a big brick wall that you can't get over. It seems impossible, but I want you to know that God is going to break through with his word, and he says that if you will submit to me, if you'll serve me, if you'll obey me, if you'll worship me, there will be a road I will make for you in the wilderness, for nothing will be impossible with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be faced with a pile of debt. You may be worried about your children or a parent. You may be longing for courage to face some trial. You may be overwhelmed with life, whatever it is. Nothing is impossible with God. Are you afraid today? Are you looking at this season through the eyeglasses of angst? Nothing is impossible with God. Do you feel lost or lonely? Nothing is impossible with God. Is your marriage melting down? Nothing is impossible with God. Are you too tired to go on? Nothing is impossible with God. Do you wonder if you can ever get over your angst? Nothing is impossible with God. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. I'm going to do two things this morning. First, I'm going to light the candle of hope. Because no matter what you're facing today, I want you to know that you have hope today in Jesus. He is with you. He's been with you. He will be with you. He will never forsake you. You have hope today. And secondly, if you need a miracle in your life, whatever it would be, there is hope. And we want to pray with you. We're going to stand. The worship team is going to lead us. And if you would like prayer, I invite you to come. I'd like to invite my board members and my prayer team, intercessors who are here, if you would come this morning, and we're going to pray together and believe God together for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Sue, would you join me as well?